Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the main news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, how the remainder of the Irish Red Cross Cresil Fund is going to be spent was outlined at a public meeting last night. There's just over 24 hours left for the public to have their say in support of planning permission along the N56. A man remains in hospital after sustaining serious head injuries in an attack in Derry earlier this month, and approximately 100 workers are facing job losses across the northwest. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Oisin Kelly has all the latest in sport coming up at around a quarter past five. How the remainder of the Irish Red Cross Cresil Fund is going to be spent was outlined at a public meeting last night. It was proposed the €144,000 left in the fund would be spent on providing trauma support and developing a garden of remembrance. Another meeting is due to take place in September. Liam O'Dwyer of the Irish Red Cross was at last night's meeting. He told Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show that it's important people have their say on how the fund is going to be spent.
When monies were coming into the Red Cross, we were able to have our members on the ground who were able to call to people to be there, particularly people going through so much trauma who needed support, immediate emergency support. And we were able to provide that early on. I think after that, when we realised the amount of money that was there as well, we put together a plan with the community. They were very clear with us. They said, look, bereaved families first. We want you to focus on that. And if there's funds over then, well, then we would be delighted to utilise those funds in the community. The work that we have been doing over the last time has been simply to make certain that the bereaved families were number one, cared for financially in whatever way possible, and also people who are injured and impacted and lost houses and jobs, etc. And we're at a stage now, I suppose, where we have 144,000 left, which is about 7.5% of the fund. We've got a lot to think about after last night. We want to go back now and consult one more time with the families of the bereaved, and then we want to come up with the map, the way we're going to deal with this 144,000. And the website we're going to set up, and looking for that community involvement to take it really from us, because I think that's the critical piece. It's complex, and it's complex because you've got individuals and people have been hugely traumatised by this awful tragedy. And so it's trying to respect that and trying to enable people in as much as they can to move on from that.
There is just over 23 hours left for the public to have their say in support of planning permission along the N56. The national policy has been a long-standing bone of contention, preventing planning permission being granted along the road in the west of the county. Councillor Michael McLafferty has spoken out on the issue numerous times, citing it would help alleviate the housing crisis in Donegal and allow those who were forced to move out of their locality to return home. The Glendies councillor says he's now calling on the support of the people to take part in the public consultation, which closes tomorrow at 4:30. Councillor McLafferty warns that if this opportunity is missed, it could be a number of years before another one arises.
So it's very important. If people have an interest along the N56, whether you're building a house or not building a house, or you want to support your neighbours, friends, family down the road that are looking to do so, or maybe going to do so in the future, It's very important that this is done before 4:30 tomorrow evening. And the more emails get in, the better. The more of a stance, if you like, from Donegal and elsewhere that we can put into those three emails there, into those offices, all the better. And the greater chance then of getting this possibly turned around in the 11th hour, if you like, for the people of Donegal who can't get planning at the minute. What's it like in Donegal when the planners of the day at the minute here in Donegal County Council turn you down because they can't give you planning along the M56, and yet your mum or dad, brother or sister, auntie, uncle, cousin, whatever, maybe on the exact field beside you. But due to this word, this keeps on, we're all familiar with this last while, the 37 of us, due to intensification onto the national road, well, it can't be allowed. We are trying hard to get this turned around. Let's come into place. And I, for want of a better word, I am lost with the county council of the time 20-odd years ago when this came into force. It's in the force that long, and we are trying to get this turned around. But if we don't get this turned around publicly by 4:30 tomorrow evening, Donna Marie, it could be another upwards of 5-6 years again then before the public get a chance again to come back at this, to have a shot at it again.
Those wishing to participate can find more information on highlandradio.com. A man remains in hospital after sustaining serious head injuries in an attack in Derry earlier this month. The man was set upon in the early hours of July 6th. Michaela Clark has the details.
Police are appealing for information after the man, aged in his 20s, was punched by another man in the Waterloo Place area of Derry at around 1:45 a.m. on Saturday, July the 6th. The man was hospitalised, however, police say, having received an update, the injuries sustained are more serious than originally thought. The victim remains in hospital where he is receiving treatment to a fractured skull and bleed to the brain. Police say they are keen to hear from anyone who was in the area that night and who may have witnessed the attack. It's believed the man who threw the punch was wearing a white top and black bottoms and made off in the direction of Shipkey Street.
Approximately 100 workers are facing job losses in the northwest. US company Terex has announced the layoffs in response to what it says is the stabilising of an extraordinary surge in demand for its products following the COVID pandemic. The manufacturer has bases in Omagh, Dungannon, Ballymoney, Derry and Cookstown. Councillor Sean Hargan is expressing solidarity with the workers who are impacted.
We make it very clear in Derry and the broader northwest that we need investment in jobs. This is a very disappointing decision by the company. We have to remember that Terex is a global company, huge revenue streams, huge profits. They've received significant funding from the Stormont executive. They receive a lot of praise as a good employer. And we don't think that this is, you know, a good employer practice. It's very unfair to be putting the bottom line ahead of, you know, workers who will be struggling to pay their mortgages and to pay their rent and all their other bills if they go ahead with these layoffs. Our message is one of solidarity to the workers, and we would urge the workers to join a trade union, because this is exactly why you need a trade union when you're in a situation like this. And I've also been in discussions with workers about their terms and conditions at Terex, and a lot of workers think that there is a lot of room for improvement in terms of pay and terms and conditions. This is another reason to push for trade union recognition.
And have you had any correspondence with the company themselves? Is this job cuts, or is there any opportunity that the roles could be created elsewhere?
We haven't spoken directly to the company yet. We'll be happy to do that. And look, this is a company that has had direct engagement from government departments, and we would expect government departments who have funded them and who have publicly praised them to be straight away holding them accountable for this decision.
Donegal County Council is urging people to attend an information session this evening on plans to establish high-quality continuous footway and cycleway routes in Letterkenny. A number of active travel projects are proposed, and people are being urged to make their views known as well as put any questions they may have forward. The session at the Radisson Hotel got underway at 3 o'clock this afternoon, with low participation being reported. Letterkenny Milford MD Deputy Mayor Kieran Brogan wants to see more.
I think, in all fairness to the executive of the council, they've made every effort over the course of the last number of weeks, and it's on now today in the Radisson Hotel from 3 o'clock to 7. But unfortunately, we don't seem to be getting as many people attending these events as I would like to see, and it's very important because some of the proposals will affect different people in different areas, residents in particular, and I think it's important that every one of them is fully informed and inform themselves of the changes that's going to happen here. So again, just at the 11th hour, I would encourage as many people to come forward and try and address that.
Sinn Féin President Mary Lou MacDonald says she has reported a potential threat to her life to Gardaí. A video shared online shows a man in a balaclava making death threats towards her and Garda Commissioner Drew Harris. In a tweet, Ms. MacDonald says the video represents an escalation of the targeted abuse directed at her over the last year and is totally unacceptable. In a statement, Gardaí say they don't comment on third-party material and videos circulating online, the contents of which cannot be verified. The Justice Minister, meanwhile, has strongly condemned the threat made to Mary Lou MacDonald. Helen McEntee says threats of any nature should not be tolerated in our democracy, and the Gardaí will deal with the issue appropriately. Midlands Northwest MEP Maria Walsh is to become a member of the EU's Agriculture Committee. Miss Walsh is being nominated by the EPP, the political group to which Fine Gael is affiliated. She will also serve as a substitute member of the Regional Development and Justice and Home Affairs Committee. Miss Walsh told Highland Radio News it's an important time for the committee and work in the area of agriculture is already underway.
I was really delighted to be appointed, making sure voices of farmers are being heard in preparation of our next common agricultural policy and legislation changes that in some cases we need to slow down, not have as much legislation come out restricting their work, but also ensuring that administration and other policies make their life easier. So stop changing the goalposts, have a very clear plan in place. And that's what I aim to do for these next 5 years sitting on the Agriculture Committee.
Do you believe we are going to see substantial change to CAP that more centrally recognises the importance of agriculture in Ireland and the uniqueness of agriculture in Ireland over the course of that period?
Yeah, I mean, this week alone in the European Parliament, this is yesterday was our first day in this new mandate, and food security was being discussed in various rooms. You know, in these past 5 years, speaking with farmers, particularly in the last 6 months of this campaign, you know, there's been a lot that we can get right. So water quality in terms of running better pilot projects. It's about making sure upland and lowland farms can still farm and that we're not paying farmers to voluntarily offer up their land when they want to farm, be it in a part-time or full-time capacity. When you look at farm safety or succession planning, when you look at the farming mental health, I'm a big champion of the work that Embrace Farm do. So there's a lot of things within the agriculture sector that we need to get right. And all of those elements, along with additional support in place in terms of financial and policy clarity, is what I'll be certainly shouting from the rooftops in this committee.
The time's just gone 12 minutes past five. We're going to go to a short break and we'll be back with all the latest in sport. The time's just gone 5:15 here on Highland Radio. Oisin Kelly has all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Donna Marie. We're going to start with golf. The Open Championship, of course, gets underway tomorrow at Royal Troon. Shane Lowry is expecting a windy few days on the links as he bids to win the Open Championship for the second time. Lowry says chances for birdies will be few and far between, but it's likely to be a low score under par that wins.
I think if we get the wind, I were thinking the golf course is going to play very difficult. And yes, you're going to have to make a few birdies and those couple of par fives. And there's not too many chances out there, especially like you said, when you get around the turn. There's a lot of holes here, just happy with par out there. And you know, you can get caught up in thinking Phil and Henrik were, 17 and 15 under or something like that. But next best was like 3 under. So I think, you know, it's probably going to be a high enough scoring tournament this week, I'd say. And, you know, it mightn't take that much to win it.
Well, last month, Ballyliffin Golf Club hosted the Amateur Championship with the hope of someday hosting the main event, the Open. Portmarnock and Dublin have held initial talks with the RNA about an Open hosting. Chief Executive Martin Slumbar says that a feasibility of Portmarnock hosting is still being examined.
What we've said about Portmarnock is the club has asked the Irish government for support in putting together a business case to stage our championships on the links, and we are fully supportive of the club doing that, and we are actively engaged in making those assessments. But no decisions have been made because we don't even know if it's possible.
On the football front, it's been another busy day on the domestic transfer scene. Galway United have signed former Republic of Ireland fullback Greg Cunningham, but swapping Galway for Dundalk as midfielder Aidan Durbin. Also leaving Galway is a striker, Leo Gasca, who has signed with Athlone Town. And Sligo Rovers have signed Ireland under 21 international Jack Henry Francis on loan from Arsenal until the end of the season. Lenny Euro has arrived in Manchester to undergo a medical at United. The Premier League club will pay Lille €50 million for the defender, a fee which could rise to 62. Euro has also attracted interest of Real Madrid. Meanwhile, Mason Greenwood's Manchester United career has come to an end. He has joined Marseille in a €30 million deal, with United retaining a 50% sell-on clause. Anti-discrimination group Kick It Out has called on all relevant clubs and FIFA to address a video posted on social media, which the French Football Association say is racist. Chelsea have started internal disciplinary action against Enzo Fernandez, who put footage online of some Argentinian players singing a derogatory song about France. The midfielders apologised, saying it does not reflect my beliefs or character. To cycling, Richard Carapaz has won today's 17th stage of the Tour de France, having staged a one-man breakaway. Tadej Pogacar added 2 more seconds to his lead in yellow in the overall standings. He now has a 3-minute and 11-second advantage. Ireland's Ben Healy drops 4 places to 17th on general classification, but Sam Bennett's tour is over. He withdrew through illness 90 kilometres into today's stage. Finally, in athletics, the under-18 European Championships get up and running for the Donegal athletes tomorrow in Slovakia. Taking to the track will be Cranford's Keelan McFadden in the 1500 metres, while Akiva Gallen of Lifford Strabane will be throwing in the hammer tomorrow morning. Derry's Conor Kelly will run in the 400 metre heats. Tyrconnell's Ethan Dewhurst and Letterkenny's Aaron Freed will also see action in the coming days. And that's your sport for today here in Highland. Back with more tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news.
Thanks, Oisin. The British government has made a commitment to repeal and replace the controversial Troublesy Legacy Wars. The laws were passed by the Tories and give effective immunity for crimes, including murder committed during the Troubles. The Irish government had taken a case against the British government as a result. Britain's King Charles outlined what his government plans to do.
My government will continue to support the political institutions and devolved government in Northern Ireland. In consultation with all parties, measures will be brought forward to begin the process of repealing and replacing the Northern Ireland Troubles Legacy and Reconciliation Act 2023.
A man has been left hospitalised following an assault in Bundoran. The man in his 30s was attacked at a property in town yesterday evening. He was taken to Sligo University Hospital for treatment to his injuries, which are believed to be not life-threatening, and Gardaí have confirmed that investigations are ongoing. An area North Atlantic right whale has been spotted off the coast of Donegal. Footage emerged on Monday evening of the whale in the water in Donegal Bay. The Irish Whale and Dolphin Group confirmed that the whale is a very rare species, which would have been more common in Irish waters in the 15th and 16th century. Padraig Bully, the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group sightings officer, says the North Atlantic right whale usually resides in waters off the east coast of America.
2 days ago, on the 15th, which would have been Monday, we started receiving reports to the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group of footage of a whale that just looked unusual. We're very used to seeing, around the Donegal coast and around, say, Donegal Bay itself, you know, the usual suspects, as we call them, the likes of minke whales, humpback whales, and occasionally even fin whales. But this was something different. So it led to a fair bit of debate within the group as to what it might have been. And as the day went on and we got closer to into nightfall, more and more video clips and photographs were coming to light. So we knew it was something rare. And then yesterday morning, you know, we started getting really good quality footage in, which confirmed to us, along with colleagues in the United States, in the New England Aquarium, we came to a consensus that it was, in fact, a very, very rare North Atlantic right whale. Now, this is a species of whale that maybe back in the 15th, 16th, 17th century was reasonably common off the west coast of Ireland, extending up towards western Scotland. But they were one of the first whale species to be targeted by the early whalers back down in the Bay of Biscay and places like that. For centuries, this population has been struggling. And today, there's only a remnant population of about 360 individuals, and they're all living on the east coast of the US. So, I mean, sightings here on this side of the Atlantic are extremely rare.
President Michael D. Higgins has signed the defence bill into law. He had convened the Council of State on Monday to consider the constitutionality of the bill. In a statement, President Higgins says he followed its passage through both houses of the Oireachtas and listened carefully to the debate on issues raised. He says the decision to sign the legislation does not close off any actions sought by any member of the Defence Forces or their representative association to challenge the provisions of the bill in the future. Having a look now to weather, cloudy this evening with scattered outbreaks of light rain and drizzle, turning more persistent in coastal areas later. It will be mild, humid and cloudy tonight with further outbreaks of rain and drizzle. Some mist and hill fog will develop as the night progresses, and that's with lowest temperatures of 13 to 15 degrees. To conclude this evening's news, how the remainder of the Irish Red Cross Chrysler Fund is going to be spent was outlined at a public meeting last night. It was proposed the €144,000 left in the fund would be spent on providing trauma support and developing a Garden of Remembrance. There's just under 24 hours left for the public to have their say in support of planning permission along the N56. The national policy has long been a standing bone of contention, preventing planning permission being granted along the road in the west of the county. A man remains in hospital after sustaining serious head injuries in an attack in Derry earlier this month. The man was set upon in the early hours of July 6th. And finally, approximately 100 workers are facing job losses in the northwest. US company Terex has announced layoffs in response to what it says is the stabilising of an extraordinary surge in demand for its products following the COVID pandemic. That's all for now from Highland Radio News. We'll be back with more headlines at 6 o'clock. The obituary notices this Wednesday evening, July 17th. The death has occurred of Anne Quinn, née Bryce, Main Street, Ballinacavan and Carrick, Donegal. Reposing at the family home on Main Street, Ballina tomorrow from 5pm until 8pm. Requiem Mass on Friday at 1 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Kellybegs, with interment afterwards in Kellybegs Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to St Vincent de Paul. The death has occurred of Annabel Kelly, Foxhall, Glenswilly. Funeral Mass at 11am in St Columba's Church, Glenswilly, on Friday, with private cremation to follow in Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan. House strictly private at the request of the deceased, please. The death has taken place of Jim Thompson, 15 Abbotswood, Carndonagh. Jim will leave Kelly's funeral home, Station Road, Carndonagh, at 6 o'clock this evening, going to the family home in Glebe, Carndonagh. Jim will leave there on Friday morning, at 10:15, going to the Sacred Heart Church, Carndonagh, for Requiem Mass at 11am, whereby afterwards he will be laid to rest in the adjoining cemetery. Jim's Requiem Mass can be viewed live on the parish webcam. Family time, please, from 10pm to 11am. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Friends of Inishowen Hospice, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. The death has taken place of Irene Conwell, née McGurk, 32 Bells Park Road, Sion Mills. Remains are reposing at her home. Funeral leaving her home on Friday morning at 11:30 for Requiem Mass in St. Teresa's Church, Sion Mills at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10pm to 11am. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has occurred of Pat Murphy, Arden Gíha, Cairn, Ballybuffet. Remains are reposing at his home. Funeral leaving his home on Friday morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate Stranorler at 11am, interment in Drumbo Cemetery. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam. Family time from 10pm to 11am and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Mary McDade, née McColgan, Ahaly, Buncrana. Mary's remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral leaving from there on Friday morning at 10:15, walking to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11am Requiem Mass with burial in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Mary McNulty, née O'Connor, Money Hotley Manor Cunningham, formerly Dunlow and the Central Hotel Rafoe. Mary will be reposing at her late residence in Money Hotley Manor Cunningham today for wake from 6 o'clock and all day tomorrow. family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Funeral cortege will be leaving her late residence on Friday morning at 10 past 10, going to St Eunan's Church, Rafaux, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by a cremation service in Lakeland's Crematorium Cavan at 3 o'clock. Funeral Mass can be viewed online via the parish webcam. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to St Joseph's Patients Comfort Fund, Stranorler, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. The death has taken place of Robbie Montgomery, Cheerlock and Carrie Gart, reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Friday after prayer service at his home at 2:30, going to Holy Trinity Church, Carrie Gart, for funeral service at 3 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the family burial ground. Family time from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Jane Witters, Carna Garvin Moville. Remains are en route from Eamon McLaughlin's funeral home, Station Road, Cairn Donna, going to her home in Carna Garv, where you're welcome to pay your respects, with visiting from 12 to 3pm and 6 to 9pm. Funeral from there at 10:30 on Friday morning for 11 a.m. funeral mass in St Mary's Church, Ballybrack, followed by interment in Ballybrack Graveyard. The death has taken place of Michael Cunningham, 65, Lisnafin Park, Strabane, reposing at his home. Funeral leaving his home on Friday morning at 9:15 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 a.m. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of May Doherty, Ní Gallagher, Bellevue Convent Road, Letterkenny, and formerly of Swinford, County Mayo. May's remains are reposing at her late residence until 10 o'clock tonight, with rosary at 9 p.m. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30, going to St Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass, which can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Interment afterwards in Conwall Cemetery. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.